No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 13th day of July. Welcome, everyone. I hope that you are hopeful today. I hope that you know the hope. Even though circumstances might not look hopeful, even though you might not feel hopeful, sometimes we wait for things to change, and then we bring the hope in. Now I'm hopeful. Hopeful is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy. But hope is the fuel that propels us to strategy, because we know who our hope is in. No man, no politician, no leader, no pastor, as much as we love them and how good they are, not our spouse. We know the creator of our existence. We know him, and he is faithful, and we can trust him. I hope that you are hopeful today. Today we are reading 2 Chronicles chapter 27, and then we're going to continue in the book of Isaiah, going back to the prophet Isaiah, and read chapters 9 through 12. And this week, we're reading the New International Version, 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. The people, however, continued their corrupt practices. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord and did extensive work on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah and forts and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham waged war against the king of the Ammonites and conquered them. That year the Ammonites paid him 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 cores of barley. The Ammonites brought him the same amount also in the second and third years. Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. The other events in Jotham's reign, including all his wars and the other things he did, are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Jotham rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, succeeded him as king. Isaiah chapters 9 through 12. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. All the people will know it, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say with pride and arrogance of heart, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars." But the Lord has strengthened Rezin's foe against them, and has spurred their enemies on. Arameans from the east and Philistines from the west have devoured Israel with open mouth. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, His hand is still upraised. But the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. So the Lord will cut off from Israel both head and tail, both palm branch and reed in a single day. The elders and dignitaries are the head. The prophets who teach lies are the tail. Those who guide this people mislead them, and those who are guided are led astray. Therefore the Lord will take no pleasure in the young men, nor will he pity the fatherless and widows. For everyone is ungodly and wicked, every mouth speaks folly. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, his hand is still upraised. Surely wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets the forest thickets ablaze, so that it rolls upward in a column of smoke. By the wrath of the Lord Almighty, the land will be scorched, and the people will be fuel for the fire. They will not spare one another. On the right they will devour, but still be hungry. On the left they will eat, but not be satisfied. Each will feed on the flesh of their own offspring. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh. Together they will turn against Judah. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning, when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath. I send him against a godless nation. I dispatch him against a people who anger me, to seize loot and snatch plunder, and to trample them down like mud in the streets. But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. Are not my commanders all kings, he says? Has not Kelno fared like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? As my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom because I have understanding. I removed the boundaries of nations, I plundered their treasures. Like a mighty one, I subdued their kings. As one reaches into a nest, so my hand reached for the wealth of the nations. As people gather abandoned eggs, so I gathered all the countries. Not one flapped a wing or opened its mouth to chirp. Does the axe raise itself above the person who swings it, or the saw boast against the one who uses it? As if a rod were to wield the person who lifts it up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood. Therefore, the Lord Almighty, will send a wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors. Under his pomp, a fire will be kindled like a blazing flame. The light of Israel will become a fire, their Holy One a flame. In a single day, it will burn and consume his thorns and his briars, the splendor of his forests and fertile fields. It will completely destroy, as when a sick person wastes away, and the remaining trees of his forest will be so few that a child could write them down. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Though your people will be like the sand by the sea, Israel, only a remnant will return. Destruction has been decreed, overwhelming in righteousness. The Lord, the God Almighty, will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians, who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as Egypt did. Very soon my anger against you will end and my wrath will be directed to their destruction. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb, and he will raise his staff over the waters as he did in Egypt. And that day their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. They enter Aiath, they pass through Migron, they store supplies at Michmash. They go over the pass and say, "We will camp overnight at Geba." Ramah trembles, Gibeah of Saul flees. Cry out, daughter Galim, listen, Laisha, poor Anathoth. Madmenah is in flight. The people of Gibeon take cover. This day they will halt at Nob. They will shake their fist at the mount of daughter Zion, at the hill of Jerusalem. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile toward Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. In that day you will say, "I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, 'Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.'" Let's get a little bit caught up from over the weekend. Over the weekend, we read the entire book of Amos, which is another Old Testament prophet. And we have to understand that Amos, the book of Amos and the prophet Amos came to speak to the Israelites on behalf of God in a time where they were their most prosperous, where they were thriving. I guess in today's terms, the kids say they were living their best life. And in doing so, they completely abandoned God. We have to understand this is why the words of Moses to the people of Israel, the first generation of Israelites, were so essential, that when the time comes, when you have plenty, you are reveling in the goodness of God because you are not without. You will have a land flowing with milk and honey. Your descendants will be many and all will be good. Do not forget God in these days. Do not abandon God. Do not think that you have got it all together, so much so that you forget his precepts, that you forget his commands, that you forget him altogether and start worshiping anything and anyone else but him. And how naive would it be for us to not remember those words of Moses and see if they don't apply right here within our own hearts. That warning from Moses, here we are today in this time where not only the people have abandoned God, they have neglected the poor and the oppressed. And the message from God through his prophet Amos is essentially, you have forgotten the poor and the oppressed. You forgot the peace of justice that I commanded, and your worship has become more routine and ritualistic than it has become sincere. And even so, he allows them the choice by sending prophets. They have a choice to return back to God, to turn from what it is that they're doing on their own and return back to God. This brings us to the prophet Isaiah today, that we hear of a man that we are going to get to, and his name is Jesus. Now, even though the Old Testament in this particular passage does not mention the name of Jesus, these are the prophecies that foretell his coming. And it's such a beautiful thing. I cannot wait to get to the New Testament Gospels, especially for those of you that are first time through the Bible, to meet and understand this man named Jesus in a whole new light. But Jesus will read from the book of Isaiah in his ministry. Let's zoom in real quick today on what Isaiah said about the soon coming king. And I want you to hold on to this piece. These descriptive words, they're not just adjectives of who he is. They are names of who Jesus is and how he will rule and who he will be versus who the people that will need a king to restore them to this place where they are today, their expectation of what that king should look like and what he should do. But hear this today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We have a very similar message from the prophet Isaiah as the prophet Amos in the 10th chapter. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. Here is where I hope we can connect some pieces today. God is asking the children of Israel, the Israelites, that vowed a covenant with him, to make them their God. They will be his people. He is asking them to do things differently than what all of the other people and from all the other nations are doing, to not oppress the poor, to not show favoritism to the rich, to the wealthy, to the powerful, to not make politics and government more important than your relationship with God, to love God above anything and anyone else, to worship him above anyone or anything else, to obey his word, to not conform to what other people are doing, especially when they call evil good and good evil. He asks them to care for one another. He commands them to repent for the sins through the sacrifice of animals. He commands them to keep the festivals so that they can remember what God has done and where he has brought them from. And he asks these things because they agreed to be in covenant with him so that they can be his people and he will be their God. And when they don't, when they turn their back and walk away, when they disregard the covenant that they made, when they break their vows, God keeps his word to his children as a good father and a good parent does. You keep your word to your children and you follow through. It's called justice. And then he shows mercy upon their repentance when they repent. The point is, generation after generation of Israelites repeat these same patterns of walking away and disobeying God, choosing their own way. But the man named Jesus that we read about today in the book of Isaiah, he will fulfill every promise, every command. He will lead by example. He will not do one thing and speak another and say, don't do as I did, just follow my words. But he lives and walks out that which he believes and that which he says and speaks. And so I hope you hear the words and know my heart today, that I don't ask us to mirror these things in scripture that we read, that we should be looking within to see if there's any truth within our own lives to shame us or condemn us or say, see how bad we get it? There's no hope for us. But rather to say, Jesus modeled it. And Jesus is coming in terms of the scripture to where we're going. But he's coming to show us a life and a better way than what the people actually were able to walk out and to live out. He showed us forgiveness by modeling forgiveness. He showed us love by modeling love, by going to sinners, by going to the rejects of society, by going places that we will never go because they don't meet our Christian criteria. And he made exchanges in day-to-day life with people that we would not make exchanges with because they would be labeled a sinner. And he did get angry. He did get mad. It's called righteous anger. And he did turn tables over in the temple. And we'll get to all of this. But he did so to restore peace because he came as the Prince of Peace. He is a king of a different kind. And the people had an expectation of who he should be and who he should conform to and what he should do for them. And I would challenge us today to see if there's any truth in those words of how we approach this man named Jesus, who came as both fully God and fully man to model the way. As he came as the way, the truth, and the life. And my challenge to us as we walk through the Old Testament prophets is to understand the words and to understand the heart of God begging, pleading with the people to return back to him. To show the people that it is not someone else's job to take care of the poor and to do that which we are called to do. And remind us of the words of God to not forget the oppressed, to not overlook the marginalized. And when we can make a stand for justice because of the injustice of those that are completely helpless to defend themselves, that we will be the voice of justice, that we will know the difference between evil and good, and we would choose good and walk in righteousness for his name's sake, that we would be a people holy and set apart to give honor to the name of God and be worthy of the name Christ-like. This is a time in the Word that I would remind us to not fall asleep. Do not check out. Stay awake. Stay alert. This is the warning of God for the people of God in His Word, in Scripture, and for us as God's children in whatever part of the world you are in right now. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. May we not forget your words. May we not forget what you've brought us out of. And may we not forget to give you thanks and praise. I pray this all today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the free app. That is the website. If this ministry has been life-giving to you and you would like to put another log in the fire to help us keep the spoken word of God going forth another day, we thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you, and we are so, so grateful for each and every one of you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. For chronological, 800-583-2164. Or again, if you're utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top right section. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit the little red microphone. And then right below that on the right, hit chronological icon. And your call will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until we turn the page together tomorrow. love one another.
Hi, DABC family. This is Sonia in Austin, Texas, and I'm just calling to ask for prayers. Going to Africa in 2 days for a mission trip. It's a very small group of us going, my pastor, his wife, another guy from our church, and then we have one person who is from Africa who lives here who's going with us. And our pastor and this gentleman did this last year and planted churches, and we're going back to help build a church. But because it's such a small group, and it's just kind of the unknown for all of us except for the pastor and this man, I'm a little nervous, but I'm just praying that, you know, we're doing what God wants and going to show people God's love and to help and to just do what we can to spread God's love and word to others. So if you just pray, supposed to be back in the United States, I think, on the 23rd. So I'll call back and give an update on how it went. But just pray for our safety and for flying that distance. It just makes me nervous leaving kids and grandkids and everything. But yeah, I'm excited to go, and just a little nervous as well. So thank you for your prayers while I'm gone, and I will listen. I won't be able to listen to the DABC while I'm over there. They said we won't have much electricity, so I'll listen when I get back. I love y'all. Thank you again for your prayers. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey, DABC. It's His Redeemed Daughter from Florida. So I just did my PET scan, and that did not come out like I wanted it to either. Unfortunately, this cancer is trying to metastasize, is what they say, and spread a little bit in different places. And the lymphedema, I'm still going to the center. They're trying to get the cording out. They couldn't get it out the other day. Trying to do exercises, trying to go to all these different doctors' appointments, and then they want me to go on this chemo pill. I'm very, very afraid of it. I know that I may need to forgive, or if I'm harboring any bitterness or anger or anything in me, I'm asking God to seek it and get it out of my heart. I have anxiety about all this cancer and all this stuff. I really wanted to overcome it, and I wanted to have a good testimony. Jesus, I'm just asking for help. Asking for you to help me to overcome and to not look at my circumstance so much, but to look to you and to ask for any unforgiveness in my heart. I'm asking you all to pray for that for me. Humble me. You already humbled me. I'm afraid, like I said, of this new drug, and that's what they're offering. So it sounds like my hair may be thinning and all these different, there's so many side effects. It's just daunting. I talked to the pharmacist for over an hour yesterday. That was really nice of her. Bless her. And I have so many friends calling me and praying and stuff like that. But I just want to let you guys know. So it's not looking as good as it did. And
this is Bree in Louisiana. I want to thank everybody on this platform who has kept me in prayer with regards to my marriage. I have heard, and I appreciate you. I'm also praying for all of you as I listen to your requests. Every day is still a struggle, but we're trying to make it through. Thank you to Blind Tony and Kneebender and all the other wonderful people on this platform. I appreciate your care, and I'm also praying for you guys for all of your requests. I just ask God to, as I know, have His ears open to us, to be aware, as His word says, He already knows what we need before we even ask. I ask that each one of us in our request that the door be open or those doors be shut that need to be shut. I ask that you guys have a blessed and happy weekend.